Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Sunday edition of Housing Information You Can Trust right here for the next 3 hours. Once again, 3 hours on this beautiful summer morning. My name is Ken Calverly, and I am the outside guy.
Chuck Bridenstine, the inside guy. Pleased to be with you. Got to give kudos to Mark Hollis. I think he's had a great show.
Yeah, I agree with you.
I genuinely enjoy listening to him on Sundays, and I was listening to Jeff Sloan yesterday between 1 and 2, I think, Startup Nation.
Yep.
But he had the folks, the family from Boyne Mountain.
Yes. Guy's been there as well, yeah.
And they just gave really, really good insight. I think every contractor should have listened to that show because there's a lot of great insight as to how to build a business that's successful, you know. And that just happened to start out as a passion where a guy bought him. He loved to ski. He loved to go outdoors. He bought a mountain up north, and his grandpa made him put a lift in. His dad made him put a lift in. He said, you got to monetize this. You can't keep giving it away and going broke every winter. You know,
I thought
it was cute.
Right.
But those two guys, I think, do a really good show, well-researched, and I enjoy listening to them.
I of course, I've been listening to the station since I was a kid, but since they've gone all local, I really love the lineup on WJR now, weekends and
weekdays.
You know,
I did, too, now that you say that.
I pay attention to
I didn't think
so
I would,
much.
To be honest with you, but I do.
I do, too. I do. I really enjoy listening to it.
I especially like weekends 10 to noon.
Yeah, we happen to think that's the best part of the week, but we're a little biased there.
Or 12 to 1.
12 to 1 today featuring?
Window World. You know what's cool? We're going to introduce a new product they're going to be carrying.
Snotty product.
And I'm excited. I truly am excited about it. I like what they told us they have, so it'll be interesting to see it and talk about it today.
It's a snotty. It's a beautiful product. And want to remind people, if you haven't had a chance to go to the Detroit News Homestyle section since Friday, put out an article in Friday, and you can find it so many places, our Facebook page, our website, Detroit News.
There's no excuses.
Talk about the contracts here in Michigan and how to deal with a contractor and contracts. And because of all this hail that we just had recently, Chuck, your brother lives in Davison, Michigan, right in the heart. And I tell you right now, if you live in that area of Davison, you need a new roof. You need a new roof.
Here's one for you.
Because the hail.
My niece has a home. My sister has a home. My brother has a home.
All in Davison.
All in Davison. All got hit. He had a car undercover in his garage, right?
Okay.
He was out of town when it happened. But he said the hail hit in some places so hard on his roof, there were small pieces of plywood laying on the cover of his car inside the garage from the roof deck.
Think about that.
I know. I can't even.
Think about that.
So they had woven nylon fabric furniture on their deck.
Yeah.
With holes in it. Literally, the hail went through that material, which to me is just beyond the pale.
And the only reason I can believe every bit of that is because I just went through Davison within 10 minutes of that hailstorm hitting. I put pictures on the Inside Outside Guy's Facebook page. I have never, ever seen anything like it. I hope we never do. If you had a house in that area, you need a new roof. I mean, no doubt about it.
Yeah.
Think about what you just said. That's amazing.
If
you had a car outside, it's probably totaled. I've seen so many cars that just look terrible.
It is unbelievable. It's truly unbelievable.
So we're gonna help people talk about the contracts, talk about some warranty today because this is something you and I are passionate about. We want to make sure when they're in this position that they make the right choices. Chuck, what we've seen a lot lately is people deferring to, they're the only one I got. They're the only one I can find. Exactly. So I signed the contract.
You're right.
You and I have talked about when you're sitting down for a mortgage and they're handing over all those papers. Even if you read all the paperwork the night before, you say, I don't want to sign that one. They've shut the book and they say, okay, you're not getting the house.
No mortgage for
you. No mortgage for you. Walk away.
See ya.
And that's how people are feeling right now.
I know.
When they buy new roofs, new driveways, new siding, new basement, whatever it may be, they don't realize they do have leverage. And for all, even your brother Pete, as long as he doesn't have an active leak or he can get someone up there just to repair it for now, he doesn't have to be in a giant hurry.
That's what I told both he and my niece. If you don't have an active leak, you don't have to make a rash decision.
Right.
You know, if you want to get on their list, obviously, you got to make a decision and make your choices, pick the color, the style.
Yeah, but don't let them think that if you don't get on today, it's not going to work. going to work.
Exactly. And in both cases, and they're talking to some good companies. You and I are, you were very much aware of one of the companies I brought to you this morning. Good company.
Yep.
Thought of well by a manufacturer that we think well of. And there was no written warranty presented.
Even though in their marketing sheet, it talks about warranty.
Yeah, their marketing sheet did a really good job. What do we include in our estimate? And one of the headings, subheadings, was company warranty. But if you read what they wrote, it really, all it says is we're going to give you something later on, you know, that you can count on. It's like, well, oh, let me see it.
And I know, I mean, it's hilarious that you see this because I know you're going to, if that was your roof, you would go through it with a fine-tooth comb. That'd be the first thing you'd say to them is, what is that? I mean, actually, that would disqualify them from doing your roof, would it not?
Well, the sheet that they will have you sign actually talks about the sole method of dispute resolution, you know, through binding arbitration like you and I have talked about before.
Yep.
And it doesn't even mention a warranty. So it's like, wait a minute. If I'm going to sign this sheet, where's my warranty? And you and I are big believers, even though you still see this done, that the warranty should be literally integrated into the written body of the contract. That actually protects the builder
right,
as much as it protects the homeowner.
Right. Right. If you have any questions about this or any other housing information, you can trust 800-859-0957, 800-859-0WJR.
Crazy.
And like I say, Chuck, this is a... That storm we had is an anomaly. We had it in Pinckney about a month, month and a half before. So a lot of people were doing the same thing down there.
It's been a hail of a summer.
It's been a hail of a summer. It really has been for the mild summer that we've had so far.
Yeah.
But especially when you get an event like this, everyone in that area is now going, we got to do this quick because everyone's going to get on board. Everyone's going to get on board. I told you, you and I, it's amazing. All the years we've known each other. All the years we've known each other, we've never gotten...
I mean, you're an old dog.
We have never, neither one of us, gotten any kind of accident. Ever. And then the last week, my front bumper gets it, your back bumper gets it. And both of us know...
I'm still mad about that.
And you call the local body shop. Now think, this is in a hailstorm area, everybody. You call the local body shop and you said, I need to get my truck in. And what did they tell you?
They told me if I bring it in on the 8th, which is what?
8th of August, right.
And leave it for a week, they'd get me an estimate. Not fix it. They'd get me an estimate. Bring it in 2 weeks, leave it for a week.
And they're actually kind of coarse about
it. And it's a big company that it's does a lot of advertising company. And solicits business, and I'm a vehicle buying fool, as you know. And it's like, okay. You're not getting my business.
This is a company I bought my dealership I bought my last vehicle from.
Oh,
and their message is almost getting annoying to me because you need your oil change. I know that. Leave me alone. Take care of that myself. You know, they send me something that says, "Do you want to come in for your tune up?" No,
think what it cost them to do all that marketing, and then the person that I interacted with turned me off to them.
That's my point. They spend so much and they work so hard. And that's where you and I call that person the CEO in charge of first impressions.
Right.
And that person who probably, I mean, literally makes up 0.0001% of their outgoing pay gave you that impression.
Yeah, sent me to someplace else quickly.
That's funny because I know in the past, and not so much anymore because I've matured and calmed down a lot. But in the past, I've actually said to people, you do not belong on the other side of a phone. I've talked to their managers, and I said, this person does not belong. Matter of fact, it happened to me last week. Right?
It's a wonder you and I.
I told the manager.
Have noses, you know, we've put ourselves in social positions where somebody should just smack us.
I told, you know, the person that checks your receipts as you walk out there, I told our manager, this person needs better training. They do not belong here. I won't talk about that at all. But
hey, someplace that doesn't need better training, someplace that we just love the personnel, the process, the product that they deliver.
Honesty.
Honesty and integrity, I'll tell you, is so cool. And you will find it every time you call Foundation Solutions 360. Welcome back, everybody. We do appreciate you being with us. 800-859-0957. You are our focus today until noon. after which we are going to be dedicating our hour to Window World and educating you on a great product and another great family-run company. Boy, we're answering emails.
Yep.
You talk about Chet's or Kearns Brothers or Kang. I mean, the list is going to go on. I could go on probably our whole list of team partners.
Right.
Family-run companies.
Yep.
Sparkle Blinds.
Yep.
T. Buell Superior.
Family Council. Heating and cooling.
Family heating. I mean, it does. You're right. It just, I love it. I love it because those people, I remember looking at Mike Kearns one time saying, I love that you say, hey, that's my name on the side of the truck.
Right. Right.
And these companies all just take such pride in what they do and the passion. It's just, it's cool. I know I got off
on the organization. No, I agree with you. Like I said, we have the best, not necessarily the biggest, by the mar,
right.
Home service professionals, contractors at the InsideOutsideGuys.com. You know, is anyone perfect? No, but we definitely feel that we have the best, and no one else. You're not going to find that list anywhere else out there on the internet here in Southeast Michigan, like we have at the InsideOutsideGuys.com.
Hey, we got it. You know, you and I have talked about. If Bruce is listening, he's going to be shaking his head. Ground fault circuit interrupters, those little
push. I don't like the way it sounds. I don't want anything interrupting me.
That's good. You know, the purpose of any breaker is to trip or turn off when there's an imbalance in current flow.
Because if it doesn't, that wire would just get really hot and possibly cause a fire.
Well, if you become the path of electricity.
Well, there you go, too.
Which, of course, generally will kill you. That will create an imbalance in the current flow, and it should trip a breaker.
Right.
Conventional breaker may not trip till you're dead. GFCIs are extremely sensitive. They're intended.
Kind of like you in your 20s and 30s. Extremely sensitive.
Like I'm becoming now.
Yeah, right.
As I mature. But 0.005 of 1 amp imbalance will trip a GFCI, which is a really small imbalance.
It's like dropping a toothpick on a basketball court.
Oh, and good. Wow.
It's setting off an alarm.
Yeah. Somebody give you that one?
I got good sleep last night.
You know you didn't.
I stayed at the Holiday Inn Express last night, Chuck.
I know you didn't. But here's what happened. Some circuits should not be on that because, well, your refrigerator. You do not want your refrigerator tripping.
Ever.
Of such, ever. Yeah, good point.
Hey, you know what else you don't want tripping? Your furnace.
Your sump pump. Jeepers.
I know. All right, different subject. Go. Maybe we'll get into that in a minute, but keep going.
We'll have to do guy code versus building code, right?
Yeah, exactly.
But we had a listener who basically had her entire house protected by GFCIs as she built it.
Entire house.
Those are her words.
Oh.
We wouldn't do that.
No.
Her fear, of course, every time there's a storm, she's losing power and all these devices has to manually go through and turn on every breaker again in the house.
Okay, so the GFCI that we're talking about, you see them in newer homes, see them in newer buildings, they're actually every, depending on feet, you'll see a outlet with two buttons in the middle of it, one red, one black, or blue, I believe.
Black,
and that's the GFCI that we're talking about.
So yeah, that's what actually trips. You may not see those. You may have GFCI protection at the fuse panel.
Oh, yeah, right.
So
yeah.
You can identify just by looking at a receptacle whether or not it has GFCI protection.
I have a sensitive one in my basement, and it goes every once in a while. Not often, maybe once or twice a year, but I know where that's at when it happens to do it.
Garage, ground accessible receptacles in a new garage are required to have that protection, and mine will trip to the garage every once in a great while.
So you go hit your button to go in the garage door and it won't go off, so you know what's going on.
Now, see, the garage door
is not connected.
It's not connected to GFCI because it's not accessible from standing on the ground.
Gotcha.
So that doesn't need that protection, and I wouldn't want it. You're right. That's a safety thing. If my wife comes home at night alone or I'm sleeping,
Which is normally the case.
Might as well be
honest. She works hard, you know, after her 14-hour shift.
Her four shifts. And pushes that button to pull in the garage and close the door behind her. I don't want that to be out of GFCI and trip, and so she's got to park her car outside.
Well, like you said, your refrigerator.
Oh, what's the cost you to restock a fridge?
Oh, my goodness. Or a freezer.
Or a freezer.
And to be out of town and something like that happens.
They used to, you know, it used to be real common for us to dedicate a circuit to a freezer in a garage.
Sure.
And we always just called it. In the industry, it was called the freezer circuit. And it was ground accessible. You could stand and plug the freezer into it. It was not GFCI protected because of what you just said.
Right.
If that trips and you lose $1,000 worth of food in that freezer, that's it. And usually the freezer's in front of the receptacle, so I'm not going to be plugging a drill into it or a light or risking electrocution, hopefully, in the garage.
Sure.
And like a sump, it was normally a single plug, if you will, receptacle. You couldn't plug more than one thing into it.
Right. So here's something for everyone out there that the inside-outside guys can still learn. And here's something that we learned last year. At my place, all of a sudden, my air conditioner went. And I called up a friend of ours.
Second, it was your furnace. Okay.
Yeah. No, it was an AC in the middle of summer. I called up a friend of ours, and I says, what could it possibly be if it's not turning out all the way to the thermostat? He said, a new thermostat. So I went and bought a new thermostat.
Oh, that's right.
It was a $700
thermostat. And it wasn't thermostat. Easily gotten. You had to make several calls.
I did.
You had to go to one of our specialty contractors.
I did. CNC got it for me, okay? So
I remember.
I remember you and I talking about this. That has to be it.
Yeah.
So, of course, I get new thermostat. I take it home, and my first thought is you never plug this in without turning the furnace off first. So I had to go downstairs. I didn't want to plug the thermostat in, and boom, it started running. I had to go downstairs, turn the furnace off. The minute I walked into my furnace.
AC or furnace? Because you said AC.
Well, it's all connected to the same art, the same, what are we talking about?
Circuit?
No, the circuit breaker.
Really?
Yes. It's all connected. All connected.
Yep. Usually the blower motor is on a separate.
Nope. Blower motor is all connected to the same thing.
Well, the blower motor is part of the furnace.
Right.
Okay, go ahead.
Which blows
But you said it was the air conditioner that it went. But anyway, go
ahead.
Well,
actually, it's a heat pump / air conditioner. But it tripped.
It was on a GFCI.
Yeah, GFCI tripped. Literally, I walked downstairs right above it. And Jim Corian from CNC, you and I tell him about it. And he goes, oh, yeah, that's code for everything now.
I know.
I don't want my furnace on a GFCI.
I don't either.
I don't want my sump pump on a GFCI. I don't.
Your refrigerator.
Because that cost me a lot of stress because you and I didn't even know that that was possible to happen.
It's
and I walked downstairs and that's all it was. Stressful.
It is stressful.
Stressful.
It is very stressful. And a GFCI could trip with high humidity.
Right.
That's how sensitive they are. We used to have situations because on a construction site, you're required to have your temporary electrical source, usually just a pole stuck in the ground with a box put on it, protected by GFCI for your workers. And what would happen is we'd go out there on a early summer morning when the grass is full of dew, run our cords, and we're running good cords.
Right.
And they're grounded. But it's kicking. The humidity literally that's enveloping the cord is transmitting electricity enough to trip the breaker. So you go to start a skill saw, cut a board, and you can't.
It's, you know, like I said, it's just like you. It's way too sensitive. You need to adjust your sensitivity levels right there.
God bless you.
800-859-0957. 800-859-0WJR. Phone lines open. We'll be taking your phone calls when we get back from break. Chuck, you have a neat story about someone you know that got a bid. We want people to guess this real quick. Someone Chuck knows, well north of town, got a bid from a decking contractor for, what'd you say, a 10 by 14 deck, roughly?
Yeah.
I want people to guess, even with a good composite, what that deck would cost, what the bids came in on for that. When we get back from break, we'll talk about that.
We had a listener contact us and asked, who's that roofing company that sprays that stuff on to make your shingles last longer? And it's a company you and I trust a bunch. If they put a new roof on for you, they'll offer you a 50-year leak-proof guarantee. But they also have a product that can extend the life of your existing roof. And, of course, we're talking about Victor's Home Solutions. Welcome back, everybody. Appreciate you being with us. 800, what is it, 859-0957 is what we're using?
That is it.
Yep. Okay.
So recently, you know, inflation has hit the building industry as much as anything else out there. You know, I saw something recently. People were asked what in the industry as far as inflation goes, what's hurt you the most? And most people say groceries. You know, groceries.
I would guess groceries and gas.
It's amazing. But this industry, Chuck, it's amazing because we get the question probably every day that we have to say no to is, what do you think it'll cost? Give us a ball. When people email us, I'll ask Chuck,
how much?
Estimate costs. And we always say we can't talk costs because it's changed so much. There's so many different variables. There's so many different areas of the house we'd have to keep track of. You know, like a furnace. You know, what's a new furnace cost? We have no idea. No idea what it costs.
There's a lot of variables.
Exactly.
You know, we could give you a ballpark, but it's meaningless.
But let's be honest. Yeah. Some of the prices we're hearing, even from the really good companies, are amazing. It's just like, wow. I mean, the industry has taken off. Profit. People are getting record profits everywhere. I mean, look at Solanis this week. And when you're real busy, you know, I've told people this before. You know, you will get an email from somebody saying, I can't believe I can't get somebody out here to take care of this. Everyone wants to charge me, you know, thousands of dollars. And I don't respond this way, but it should be, well, what do you expect? If someone can go to a job every day and make $5,000 a day, why would they stop what they're doing to go to your job for $1,000? And people are doing that.
I agree.
The industry is still strong.
Yeah.
So saying that, a 10 by 14 deck, you have a friend that had an estimate on a 10 by 14
deck. More like 14
deck.
By 20, but still.
Okay. But nowhere near here. North in Genesee County, no one that we know company-wise. And you asked me earlier, what was the bid? What did I think the bid was? And because I'm doing my own deck, I know what the material is going to cost for that deck. The material for that deck is probably going to cost definitely less than $10,000. Is it a real high deck?
It's about as high as yours.
Okay, so it needs railings.
Yeah.
Okay, so the material for that deck.
Aluminum railings on it.
Yeah, okay. You're probably talking $12,000 worth of material somewhere in that area. So my guess was $35,000, $40,000.
I guess 30 to 40 when they asked me.
Yeah. And what was his estimate?
Guy priced him at 80. And then when they balked a little, he dropped it to 60 if they'd signed today with 30 down. And it just, I mean, you laugh.
We do. Yeah. That's terrible, Chuck. I hate hearing that.
Yeah. And they're an educated consumer, so they're not taking that deal, obviously. But that is, I said, I can build you a new house for that kind of money.
Yeah, you would do it for 50.
Yeah.
You'll find the guys to help you.
He told me that. I said, I'll do it for 50 right now.
I'm surprised he didn't say yes.
Old guy Chuck. I know it. It's just crazy. Here's the thing. We've got companies that have more business than they've ever had before.
Right.
So they're doing what we call in the industry bidding stupid. You really don't want any more work. You've got plenty of work through the end of the year. But you have an opportunity, so what do? If your cost is 40, you double it.
Right.
If you get it, you're thrilled. If you don't, oh, well, it costs me an hour to go out to the house and look at it.
Especially when you're bidding multiple of those a day.
Oh, yeah. It's crazy. But a lot of these companies, what they're going to do is overbook themselves.
Yep.
And not be able to perform. And we guarantee there is a potential for that proverbial avalanche, that snowball rolling down the hill in this economy where companies are going to commit, take your money, and then not perform.
And we can also guarantee somewhere in that warranty work, there's a clause that says it may be delayed due to this, 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 or this. Jobs could be delayed, and that's
kind of the contract.
Contract, yeah. In the contract, yeah. And that's going back to also the other contract you were talking about. That's why it's so important, everybody, when you get a job or when you get an estimate, get three estimates. You know, I mean, if you feel confident with the first estimate, fine, we give you permission.
Especially if it's a strong referral.
Exactly. But like Chuck said, you want to make sure everything is in writing. You want that warranty to be very clear. And understand, a good warranty is going to protect the homeowner and going to protect the contractor.
And the contractor.
Both?
It should be both of them.
Absolutely. And that's the way it should be. But we don't want people signing contracts because they feel they have to get it done. This is the only choice they have. Chuck, that guy right there, the problem with that salesman that went in at 80 and instantly came down to 60, loses absolutely. If he's sitting at my table, I'm saying, you know what, I'm finding the quickest way I can to get him out of my house.
I know.
He lost all credibility if he could drop it.
25%.
That fast.
At the blink of an eye.
And
how
here's
can
what
possibly do that?
Here's what they're hoping for. they're hoping the minute they say it, they go, what do you think, honey? We can't get anyone else out here. Let's sign.
Yeah.
And if they would sign, great. They're going to make a giant profit on that job.
Well, and it's typically a negotiating tactic to do that, right?
Right.
Because we reacted to 80. We hate 80. We're not doing 80. There's no way. Oh, you'll do it for 60? 60 seems like a lot better number than 80. It's still way too high.
It is.
But it seems so much better by comparison. There was a study decades ago that proved that people are more fearful of loss than they are excited about potential gain.
Gamble. So, it's a gamble, yeah.
So you're in that position where they went from 80 to 60, and you can get this guy. You're afraid of losing him. He's good. He was referred to.
He's busy.
So you're afraid to lose him. So you overpay out of the fear of loss, if that makes any sense.
No, it makes perfect sense to me. I was the guy on that side of the table. Never did anything like that, but my goodness, I was afraid to do something like that.
I couldn't have slept at night.
Exactly. You know? Exactly. That's the thing. So you're talking about the warranty. Earlier, we were talking about that warranty. And when you sign that warranty, let's say that couple would have said, you know what, all right, great. Here's the risk that salesman has. Once he walks out of that house, they legally have 3 days, 3 business days to think about it.
Yeah.
And as a salesman, speaking from experience, there's nothing worse than getting that right of residency when you just thought you just sold a big job.
You thought you won the game.
You thought you won the game. And a good salesman knows.
Said you lost.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And when you do that, when you sell like that, Chuck, that's going to be more prevalent. That's going to happen. People are going to get – you're going to leave. They're going to sleep on it and go, you know what? No, we just can't do this.
And there are people – that's the negotiating style. If they present 10 bids in a day with ridiculous margin like that and get one of them, they're happy.
Yeah.
1 out of 9, which you and I would frown on and never look at as successful, 1 out of 9 for them might be great.
And, you know, we talk about basement waterproofing as an example. And I'm going to tell you the average price, I'm just guessing once again, 10 years ago was probably $20,000 to $25,000 for a basement waterproofing. So now, yeah, you're probably talking $30,000, $35,000 for the average.
It's scary stuff. I mean, the year-over-year increase in new housing is 13%.
That's crazy.
And that's on almost $300,000 as an average price throughout the country. So that's 30, that's 40 grand. In 1 year.
On a 30-year mortgage, how much more does that make that payment?
At the interest rates we're talking.
Right.
That's why the market's slowing down, because people are going, we can't afford that. You had $250, $300, $500 a month of my payment. All of a sudden, I can't buy that house anymore. Scary stuff.
Scary stuff, yes. But that's why you and I are here for people. If you find yourself in this situation, you don't know what to do. We have so many people that will just send us an email and ask our opinions, and we'll give it to you.
I agree with you.
Phone lines are open, 800-859-0957, 800-859-0WJR. I want to make sure everyone sticks around for the bonus hour, which Chuck and I like to call the education hour between noon and 1 today, featuring our good friends at Window World.
You know, we had a phone call yesterday, a gentleman that had a sump pump discharging into a storm sewer. And later on, we should talk a little bit maybe about the difference between sanitary sewer and storm sewers and the fact that they may or may not exist where you live.
It's very important. You want to listen to this, especially if you ever in the middle of one of those 100-year rains.
Huh.
had stuff back up into your basement that wasn't yours. Right. Who would you call if you needed a check valve or a backflow preventer or a good triple safe sump pump system?
I like Ron Alexander. I like Shelby Mechanical.
Knowledge.
I like the people that they are, don't you?
Yeah. You know what? Their experience at that company is second to none. Ron's been doing this as long as we have, and he's full of knowledge, and it's a family-run business with great professionals at Shelby Mechanical.
Welcome back, everybody. 800-859-0957 is the number we're using today for call-ins, and we would love to hear from you.
Yep. There are two ways that we get rid of our wastewater here, especially if in a subdivision, which for most people is there's sanitary and their storm. It's exactly what they're for. One sewer gets rid of the storm water
or
that
ditch.
Comes. Or ditch, right. One gets rid of the waste that goes through your toilets and your sinks and everything else in your house, right?
Yeah. We call that a sanitary sewer, and that is typically described as brown water in the industry, and it needs to be treated.
That'll make its way to the water plant,
treatment
right?
Plant.
Yeah, yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Whereas, theoretically, storm water can be dumped directly into the river. And that's one of the reasons that cities grew up on rivers, because they had a ready supply of water and they had a ready methodology of getting rid of stuff like sewer.
Right.
They used to just dump raw sewer into the river and it went downstream.
Yep.
So a few years ago, the government said, wait a minute. Every time we have a heavy rain, all that water's going into the sanitary sewer, and we're treating gray water instead of brown water, and we shouldn't. It costs us a fortune to treat all this water. We should isolate those two. We should have a separate storm sewer that takes it right to the river and a separate sanitary sewer that brings it to the treatment plant. And a lot of communities did that. There was federal money available to
sure.
for us to do that. But you need to discover whether or not you are on that system, because you still may be the what we call a pump and dump, where it goes straight out to a ditch or the backyard or
right.
whatever
right.
from your sump pump. There was an unintended consequence of that. Those sewers that were designed decades ago and buried under our roads were intended to have a periodic flushing from stormwater, because solids would settle in those huge pipes under the roads. And those heavy storms would actually carry that, you know, clean out those pipes. What we found out was happening was those pipes weren't getting cleaned out when we took all that volume away. And so it's been kind of a darned if you do, darned if you don't thing, where we're separating and not treating as much, but we're not getting the flow through the pipes that we
right,
anticipated
getting. Right, right, right. In your home, the sanitary sewer will take care of the toilet, the washer, the dishwasher, sinks, the floor drains. In your home, the stormwater sewer will take care of the foundation drains, the roof drains, and the catch basins.
Right.
For the most part. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's go to the phones. 800-859-0957. Let's talk to Vince in Lockwood. Good morning, Vince. You're on with the Inside Outside Guys on WJR.
Good morning. First question is, do you know if Victor's Roofing and Hanson's are part of the same company?
No, they definitely are not.
All right. The reason I ask is 20 minutes ago, I went online to Victor's website to ask for an estimate, and they give you an option for time and day, and I figured I'd have to wait till tomorrow to get confirmation, which is fine. But within 5 minutes, I got an email from Hanson's with the exact time and day that I picked, confirming an appointment.
That's scary.
That's dirty.
That's scary.
Yeah, that's algorithms, and they pay a lot of money for that.
Yeah, they do. Yep.
And that's not yeah. right.
No, it's not right. No, it's not.
Wow. Wow.
Okay, so if you guys, because I can't get a hold of anybody in the office, if you guys could get a hold of Victor's and just let them know what's going on, I'd appreciate it.
Well, I'm sure they're going to hear about this one.
So. I got to tell you, yeah, they have a very large call center. Victor has invested heavily in training and hiring to have people respond, you know, Monday through
yes.
Friday.
Yes.
Right.
Like you. So that information they will love to get. Thank you so much.
Greatly have a great day, gentlemen.
You too.
You too, buddy. You know, wow. The first thing he said when he went on the computer, but it's amazing that it has the exact same time and date.
My the times goodness. We live in, huh?
That's scary stuff.
I mean, if you think about it, if you put it out there on the web, I've said forever, I had a partner 40 years ago. He started banking on the web, and I said, you got to remember, it's secure, Chuck. I go, you know, if one guy can write the program, another guy can figure a way to break it. And it'll always be that way.
But today you have no choice. You have to bank on the web. I know you do. I mean,
I do. I hate admitting it.
So many things we don't want to do that we would do. So people got to be careful what he just said. You know, that's you got when you call a certain company, you want that company to call you back, not somebody else. And the fact that there wasn't somebody in there listening, that there was a algorithm listening to that, is very disturbing as a society.
That is. It's scary stuff. It truly, truly is. And I don't pretend to know what the solution is. I try to minimize my exposure to digital stuff like that.
Right.
I try to buy local as much as I can. Try to pay cash as much as I can. But you're right. I don't think you can avoid it.
No. 800-859-0957. 800-859-0WJR. We have had some really big storms lately, just over the last couple of days. We got drenched just two nights ago. That's where we had Christian Deasy from Christian Gutters come on and kind of explain the proper path. I mean, his job is to get that water away from your house, and you as a homeowner should want that water away from your house. I'm seeing so many homes, Chuck, that have so much vegetation way too close to their houses. People got to cut those bushes back.
Yep. I was out trimming yesterday after I mowed and thinking it was probably the 15th time that I've done that this year.
This year. Oh, I agree.
With a lot of the bushes.
I agree.
But you got to do it.
You
do. And if you don't, first of all, it's going to be harder to do if you don't. Second of all, when you do cut them back, you'll be cutting back into sticks rather than the greenery because you let the greenery go too far.
Right.
You didn't train the bush, if you will, and, of course, the damage to the house.
And you're going
to
attract more bugs in those areas. Oh, you're going to attract more critters in those areas. You're going to attract more snakes in those areas.
Moisture.
Moisture, and that's the worst one right there. I mean, the moisture gets in there, and you're in trouble. 800-859-0957, 800-859-0WJR. We have another hour of taking your phone calls after this next break, and then Chuck and I are going to head over to our good friends at Window World and spend the noon to 1 hour, the education hour, speaking with Haleem and Niles.
So do you think, maybe this is a topic for after the top of the hour, that tankless water heaters have come of age finally?
Yeah.
After decades of kind of being a maybe, possibly, no.
Yeah, I do. I mean, everything I'm hearing about them.
Me too.
In the old days, it'd be either or.
The old days.
Even 10 years ago, it'd be, yeah. No, you don't need one of those. Just use a traditional one. But the technology in the new ones almost makes it impossible. Plus, they last. They last. I'm not sure what the average lifespan are, but it's a lot more than what we have now.
The knock on them was that you had to have pure water to run through them. So maybe right. After the top of the hour, we throw that out as a topic for discussion.
We will do that again, along with taking your phone calls, 800-859-0957.
You're a brick guy. You notice when there's step cracking and mortar joints and bricks falling off of chimneys. You see it all the time as you're driving down the road.
I don't care what it is. If it's concrete or masonry and you have gaps that water can get into, you have cracks that water get into, in the state of Michigan, here's what will happen. November will come. Early December will come. It'll start the morning out at 70 degrees. We'll get some major rain. By 9 o'clock, it'll be 30, 32 degrees. And that water is freezing inside that concrete and that brick and popping it and making it worse. Before that happens, make sure you get it all repaired by Brickworks Property Restoration.
We're going to take your calls during this hour, and then from 12 to 1, we will be with folks at Window World.
We will be. Phone lines are open. Let's take our first one. Let's talk to Mike, who has a sump pump issue. Good morning, Mike. You're on with the guys.
All right. Good morning, guys. Just a sump pump idea for discharge. Several years ago, I installed a dry well in the backyard, and sunk a 55-gallon drum down in the yard.
Sure.
And a steel drum at the time. I was looking for a 55-gallon plastic pickle barrel, but I couldn't find one at the time, so I had to use steel. So I got the steel drum and punched it full of holes with a pick, and ran 1.5 inch PVC from the discharge of the sump pump underground into the top of the drum, filled the drum with broken concrete, and I didn't want to put the steel top back on the drum for fear it would rust out and hurt somebody. So I made a top out of cedar and put it on there and covered it up, and it's been draining the sump pump
So that was 2 years ago. It's still doing well?
Oh, no. This was 40 years ago.
Oh, okay. I misunderstood.
Wow.
Only thing I would have done different is I would have wrapped that barrel in a landscape fabric. That's the only thing I would have done different.
Or a filter. Yeah, they make filter cloth. Looks around the plastic pipe when you buy it. But I agree. That's good for you. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a sophisticated French drain for 40 years ago.
Yeah. I also, this is a 100-year-old house, and I won't go into this lengthy story, but I hand dug this entire house on the outside and found that the walls, there was no tar or waterproofing on the walls, block basement. I had to repoint every vertical mortar joint. And so I checked with Brighton Block as to the best thing to waterproof it. And so I put two coats of Eucaseal, Tamiseal on it. You mix it up. You mix it up like pancake batter, and put that gallon of white additive in it to make it stick, and brushed it on the basement, and just to be sure, I put a coat of tar over it, and 2 inches of put the flexible drain top down, and.
Any visqueen? Any plastic?
Over the flexible drain tile, and covered it with pea gravel, and tied it into the, I believe, the sanitary sewer, because it was inspected and okayed, I've had a nice dry basement ever since.
Well, Mike, we appreciate you calling in and telling our listeners how to do it. That's a good job. And you hand dug it all yourself. That's very impressive.
That's impressive. Yeah.
Mike, thank you so much for your call, sir. We greatly appreciate it. You have yourself a great day. Thank you, sir.
Thanks.
Sometimes it's better coming from a listener like Mike than it is
from
you and I.
You're right.
And what he did was what we said yesterday. He gave the water an easier place to go.
Right.
And think how green Mike was 40 years ago with that French drain.
I'm sure that was his main concern back then.
His goal was to replenish God's aquifer by putting that water in the ground and slowly letting it go back down to where it came from, back home to mom and
God's
dad.
Aquifer little water mom. You need his help, your help, or anyone else's help, because you cannot waste water. Stop it. Just stop it.
You're no fun.
Yeah, right. 800-859-0957, taking any and all of your housing.
Before the break, you and I were talking about whether or not we would consider a tankless water heater.
Yes.
Some people call them a demand water heater, which can be deceptive.
Definitely get more space in your basement if you use one of those.
What about if you have a slab on grade and you've got that utility closet where you've got that big old 40 or 50-gallon water heater?
Yeah, you're going to make more space in that as well.
Yeah.
You've got a place to put your vacuum now.
A lot of people don't use vacuum. I'm kidding. Anybody get mad?
Yeah, we want people to start considering these more when it comes time for a new new water heater. People always say a hot water heater, but the water's already heated, so a water heater. And the on-demand units are simply, you know, for me, Chuck, even though my water heater is a 70-gallon tank almost right
beneath
my bathroom. Yeah, because we have a jacuzzi tub that my wife likes to go into, so we got a bigger tank there. It still takes a few minutes for the hot water to get to it's almost right underneath, but it still takes a good 30 seconds to a minute for that water to get hot to my.
We call that cold water sandwiching. You and I have written articles on that. But literally between the water heater and the point of use, in this case, let's say the hot tub.
Right.
The water sits in there for 24 hours and cools off. So you've got the meat of the sandwich is that cold water in that pipe. You turn on the hot, and all that cold has to be exhausted first. Before the hot from the water.
So wasted is what you're saying.
It is wasted because it's just going down the drain. Ooh.
And where's it going then?
Depends.
Where? Chuck, no. Where's it going then? Come on, answer the question.
We have taken that beautiful, potable, filtered, drinkable water and possibly blended it with sewer.
Oh, God forbid.
So while the water still exists, it's not good for us anymore.
You're ridiculous. You're just ridiculous.
So what happens, the demand water heaters, there are ways, we've talked to Ron Alexander about this, we've talked to other people about this, to get rid of that cold water sandwiching, and with circulatory loops. So literally what you would do, let's say Maria doesn't want to wait 2 minutes.
Who?
Your bride, sorry. Okay. I shouldn't. Oh, my God, now they know her name.
All the rest of them, right.
I think about my mom getting into one of those tubs that doesn't heat its own water, you know, where you have to shut the door and start running the water.
Right.
Right?
Right.
You don't want 2 minutes of cold water coming into that tub. I mean, you're sitting in it with God's only on your skin, right? And get cold water from that cold water sandwiching. So they can run a loop from your primary point of use. Sometimes it's kitchen. I mean, they could do it to any point of use in the house, where literally 24/7 hot water will circulate through that loop. So you'll always have hot water at the point of use.
Yes.
The downside is you're heating water you're not using.
Mm-hmm.
And in the summertime, you're giving that heat off to the house that you're trying to cool. So there is a negative to it, if you will. But it can be done by a qualified company like Shelby.
Electric and gas. Electric and LP?
They can do it with any water heater. It's usually a small DC electric pump.
There you go, okay.
We actually had, 25 years ago when we were talking about, you know, incorporating this into green build technology, circulatory pumps, or loops, excuse me, that were just what we called convective loops. We count on the fact that hot water would rise, cool down, fall down, and then if you piped it back to the water heater, it would fall naturally and create a non-powered convective heat loop, if you will.
Gravity fed.
Yeah. I mean, that's really, yeah. But there's a lot of cool stuff out there you can do if you're looking for these.
We're going to continue with housing information you can trust right here for almost the next 2 hours, along with taking your phone calls at 800-859-0957.
We like companies run by good people. We like Rich and Jason at Performance Remodeling because we trust them, but also because they've kind of developed a unique model where they will automatically price a good, better, best for you depending on why you're buying, what you're buying, and what ability you have to buy.
And they take such great care of our northern listeners up in the thumb, you name it, all the way up to Saginaw. If you need new roof, windows, or siding, we want you to consider Performance Remodeling.
Having lots of fun here. Feel free to join us. Pour another coffee. We're going to be here from 12 to 1 with the folks from Window World and a new guy. They're going to bring a new guy.
New product.
With new product.
New beautiful product.
I know it. So that's going to be fun.
It is.
Yeah, hang around for that. You know, you and I were talking about water heaters. Today, you're either going to buy the conventional tank with, you know, it fires from the bottom in whatever capacity, you know, 40, 50, 60 gallon, electric or gas, or you're going to buy the more sophisticated high efficiency unit, like a lot of houses have in them, that have the blower motor for the exhaust on the top. Those are a lot more expensive. Or you're going to have a demand system. You and I had mentioned Ron Alexander from Shelby Mechanical earlier. They got into the Rinnai brand early, and Rinnai is kind of the Kleenex of the tankless units.
Yep. When you say Kleenex, you mean the name most people recognize.
Yeah. If you're saying demand, people go like a Rinnai. You know? So they were smart. They dipped their toe in that water real early and real fast, and I think Ron was, those guys were pretty smart getting into it and becoming expert at them.
Yeah.
But there are places where they make a lot of sense, but just remember they are not an instant water, hot water heater at the point of use, which a lot of people
right
don't think about.
Right. Yeah. Chuck, did you see the email that we got of a gentleman named Keith questioning city inspectors?
Yes, I did.
Did you see that?
Yeah, there was everything but four letter words in there.
No, were there any? I thought there were some.
Oh, maybe there were.
There were. Oh, yeah. Why are city inspectors so, I'll say it. Anyway, I'm not going to say it. This guy does not like city inspectors. He had a furnace put in 2 years ago, and I guess they came out and checked it out, but they want to come back out again after 2 years.
Well, it's not like they didn't reinspect it. And they waited for 2 years to final it.
Yeah, he doesn't mention that. You're right. That's it. There must have been a permit pulled.
Yeah.
Never a final inspection.
Yeah.
It came up on their records, and now they want to inspect it.
Yeah. And they have the right to do it.
They do have the right to do it. And, Keith, instead of getting mad at the city inspector, I'd probably get mad at the person who put your furnace in that they did not contact the city and tell them that they were done.
Exactly.
Most city inspectors are really good guys. They're like anything else out there in the industries, whether it's auto, you know, 90% of the guys out there, 90% of the inspectors out there are good guys.
10%, or gals.
Or gals. Well, yeah, there are a lot of cities that inspectors are gals, very competent. You've dealt with them in the past.
Yes.
As well. But no, we don't feel the way you do here, Keith. Seriously, this is on your person who installed the furnace in the first place.
And we told him in our response that he might have a little bit more protection if he ever has an insurance claim based on that installation because it was final and approved.
There you go. Reiterate that. Make sure people. I want to make sure people hear what you're saying.
Yeah, if the install was never legally approved, and let's say a fire started and they blamed the furnace.
The install.
The install. You might have an insurer fighting the claim and trying to sue the installer and not paying you off and making you whole right away, you know, while they fought it out. It's like, oh, what's going on here, you know?
Well, just like we were talking about contracts and warranties earlier, the same thing with your insurance protection. You may have a clause in your insurance because very people read it, and if they do, they don't remember it days later, that says if you have a mechanical repair done that is not properly permitted and inspected, they will not honor your claim.
Yeah, they may literally have a right to deny a claim based on the legality of the installation.
Right.
Those permits and inspections are legal requirements. In other words, they're law. So whether we like them or not,
right,
they better be done.
I agree. What do you think the percentage of jobs out there that should be permitted are?
Boy, that's interesting. I really wouldn't have a clue.
I bet half. I bet there are so many furnaces, so many pools, so much concrete.
Oh, you mean that are supposed to be but aren't?
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah.
Gosh, yeah, in this market it might be. I'm sorry, I misunderstood your question.
That's okay. There are a lot of contractors out there that work by this rule. Start the job. If the city inspector comes by, usually they're going to say they're not going to shut them down because they know how busy they are. They're going to say, go pull a permit now. So they may say shut down until you pull that permit, but usually they'll let them continue working until they pull that permit.
Yeah.
And, understand, everybody, those city inspectors, I had one tell me one time, Ken, when I go into a house, I have to treat like that house like I'm moving in with my young children.
I love it.
They're there to make sure you are safe in their jurisdiction. You're not going to be the only one. Chances are you're not going to be the only one living in that house. And they're there to keep you safe. That's their job, is to keep you safe in that house.
Yeah, safety, health, welfare are supposed to be the objective of the codes, although they've kind of...
Oh, we can have some conversations.
Yeah, they've gotten out of their wheelhouse in the last several years.
And sometimes they need to be called on it and put back in.
Particularly with the energy codes. And the builders have been diverted from fighting them like they used to just because they're so busy trying to deal with the issues they're dealing with, supply chain issues, labor, you know.
Right.
All the other stuff. Yeah, it's funny you mentioned there might have been an audit that uncovered that. I had a buddy that was in that business years ago. Used to run the building department for a good jurisdiction in the metro area and then kind of subcontracted himself out down the road.
Right.
And he went to a department where they wanted to pay him to do an audit to find out what jobs had never been finaled.
Okay.
And he said he discovered hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of them very quickly.
I bet not only discovered that, but he discovered a lot of companies were doing work that they weren't properly permitted for.
Oh.
I bet there's just a ton of that out there.
Didn't have the right license.
Right. Right.
It just goes on and on. And the more sophisticated jurisdictions will require that you bring copies of your new license in, and some of them will even require that you be insured.
Now, I remember when I used to have to do this every year, there was one city in particular, Madison Heights, drove me crazy. that because I was the owner, I had to go in every year and sign a piece of paper, you know, because I was the main license holder. After that point, for the rest of the year, my guy could go in and pull permits.
Sure.
But I had to go in the first time that year and give my ID and everything else, because ultimately I was responsible for that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I tell you another thing I found years ago. The more affluent cities in Southeast Michigan, their building departments are much easier to work with than some of the not so affluent cities.
I know. It's funny how that works. For years, a lot of the building company or departments were a revenue source for the general fund for the community in which they existed.
Right.
And if you ran a building department, it was incumbent on you to put a budget in there that dumped a whole bunch of money into the general fund.
Right. Right.
The builders got together, I don't know, maybe 20 years ago, and had a statute passed that said, you can't do this anymore. Any monies you generate as a building department have to be utilized for enforcement issues only.
Sounds
be handed over to the general
fund. Sounds fair to me. And remember, just because they're inspectors doesn't mean they don't make mistakes.
Yeah, right? Absolutely.
It's what they do, but everybody makes mistakes.
You know, a company that we can count on to make very few mistakes, whether you're doing a commercial roof for your factory or a new roof for your house, or simply you want to extend the life of your roof for 5 years with good repairs that are guaranteed and warranted.
Yeah, this is a company that when COVID hit, they gave us a call and they said, look, we want to help people. Anyone that needs repair, send them our way. We'll take care of repairs during this time frame for no cost, because they wanted to help people. If you need a new roof, call the company that hops to it. And that company is Four Seasons Kanga Roof.
Welcome back, everybody. We do appreciate you being with us. 800-859-0957 for the next half hour anyway. Then we'll be over at Window World talking to the guys. That's going to be fun.
Yes, yes. Chuck, we had an email question because you mentioned the decks earlier. Someone asking us the difference between doing a wood deck and doing a deck with a composite material. And
now we're talking about walking surface.
Walking surface.
Because the frame is going to be wood or steel anyway.
Either way. Yeah, I remember one time we did have a company. They had an all-plastic deck, and they had all the framing members made out of plastic, recycled plastic, and the price point was just unbelievably outrageous for that material. That was years ago. However, that being said, you know, a wood deck is always going to be less expensive on the top. But, Chuck, you mentioned, you know, someone that's replaced their deck four times in, what, the last 20 years, 20, 25 years? If they would have got originally a good composite deck, would they have replaced it at all yet, do you think?
Well, I mean, they've replaced frame, steps,
everything.
So, I mean, you and I have talked a lot about, you know, the fact that people do it wrong or they buy cheap material. I remember from many people hearing, we bought treated material, but it rotted out. Well, you didn't buy the right treated material.
Right, right.
You didn't buy good treated material. And you didn't buy it for that application. We always talk about using foundation-grade treated material for decks. And I can speak from a lot of experience. I have never had a piece of that material fail.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
It just doesn't.
Now, as far as cost goes, we mentioned earlier, we don't talk cost, but a composite deck is going to cost you 2, 3, maybe 4 times as much as a wood deck. And there are some variables you need to consider. You know, if your budget allows, we say do composite. If you have a deck that is sunny a lot, gets a lot of afternoon sun, then a wood deck is going to perform better over the years in an area like that. If you're in an area that gets all shade, a lot of moisture. Remember, if you're not a side of the house that's all shade, which that means when the moisture falls, it takes a lot longer to dry, which infects all the wood back there. I'm going to say a composite deck would be probably better option for that, or something like Spectrum, our good friend Chris Rigney Spectrum. He has a steel decking that would be
or an aluminum decking.
Yeah.
Those aluminum, are really snotty products. Yeah,
they are.
They've got a contiguous metal deck that can actually act as a watershed or roof, if you will, over like your situation where you have that walkout down below on the deck above.
Yep.
There's some really cool product and material out there, but treated wood, and again I say foundation grade wood, is a great product, very affordable, it'll last a long time. the composites to me have come of age now. There was a time when I would not suggest them. I would not use them.
I was at
now I like them.
Wimsat recently when I was picking up my stuff. That's where I got my. They were nice enough to help me out and get my.
So you went where the contractors go.
I went where the contractors go, and the rep. I mean, his name is Dave. I don't have his card in front of me. Was telling me the original. If you take today's Transcend Tech Trex or any of their products, Trex, which looks so beautiful on the top, and you turn it over, that was the original Trex. The backside of what's there now was the original Trex. And the upgrades they have made over the years to what that looks like then, to what it looked like then, to what it looks like now is absolutely beautiful. And it lasts. I mean, there's you and I said it, there was a lot of research and development on the job when that stuff, that kind of stuff first came out.
We saw it fail.
Yeah,
we did. A lot of decks, you know, where there was a little too much wood product in them. And it would rot and get punky, and people actually were stepping through some of those decks.
Yeah.
Scary stuff.
800-859-0957. Phone lines are open. Let's talk to Emily in Manchester. Good morning, Emily. You're on with the guys.
Hello. Thank you for your show. Lots of information.
Thank you.
My situation is I have a bow bay window, faces west exposure. And it, a few years back, the caulking was breaking away. So I was out there re-caulking and cleaning out and found some crumbling wood. I sealed it up because winter was coming and I didn't want extra moisture in there. Is it something I should be concerned, and how do I jump on this?
Where are you seeing the wood becoming punky and having issues? Whereabouts on the window?
It was the lower edge, where it, there. I have a 2-foot overhang on my home, so it was pretty much the upper half of the windows do not get any kind of rain on them unless it's really, you know, heavy. But so this was the lower part. The window itself, I didn't measure. It's a good 6 foot. There's a solid pane in the center, and then on each side is a casement window, and it bows out. It's a regular bow out window. It's not
now bow would be circular. Is this an angle?
You're right. Bow. It is. Then it is not considered bow, but it's
Just wanted to make sure. There's a difference.
Yep. And where I'm seeing the wood issue is in the solid pane, not the casement or the casement windows.
Yeah. So they call those flankers, those side windows that open and they crank out. They're a casement type window where you got a stationary or fixed sash.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Bigger piece of glass or window in the middle. And you're getting rotting. Now, the fact they had to re-caulk, I mean, it's funny because I know you and I, Ken, will be at Window World from noon to one, and they use nothing but a premium, very expensive OSI caulk.
Yep.
And that makes a difference.
Sure does. Sure does. One thing done.
Even you mentioned the overhang, which I respect, Emily. Even in windows, you know, they just get that condensation from last night in the summertime. Which a lot of windows will get this time of year or first thing in the morning. And, of course, what does that moisture do? It runs down to the bottom of the glass, the bottom of the frame. It
soaks into the wood.
And it soaks into the wood, especially if the caulk has gone bad or the glazing, you know, piece there is bad. So we've got companies that may fix it, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we do. I'm just not sure if they go to that area, but we will definitely give you the numbers and let you go from there. You got a pen handy?
I do.
Okay, the first one we're going to give you is, where does it go? Accent Window Repair.
Jen.
586-800-3171. And the other one is Independent Window Repair.
Five eight six.
749. 4449.
Where are these folks located?
Well, they're on the east side, but they do travel. And if by any chance they don't go to your area, they probably know other companies that will.
Okay, so just call either or and set up something for them to come out?
Okay. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, all right. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye now.
You have a great day. Bye-bye. It's a good call, and it happens a lot. It happens too much. Yeah.
The quality of caulk is a big issue.
Yes. It's a huge issue, Chuck. Huge. And you and I tell people, one thing you don't want to go cheap on is caulking or paint.
I was just thinking, they both look identical in the container, right?
They do.
You see paint on the shelf, you see caulk on the shelf, and you know, what the heck? And they all say they're intended for this use, you know, exterior, whatever, siding, concrete, window, frames,
right,
whatever.
Right.
So how can one be better than the other, even though it's three times as much money? There is a difference.
There is a difference.
Yeah.
And what's also very important, if you're ever doing what Emily's doing, make sure you remove as much as the old caulk as you can before you put new caulking on. So important. And then if you can get alcohol and clean the area with alcohol before you apply it, you'll definitely be in better shape. If you
and make sure that material's really dry. You know, apply the caulk. There are manufacturer specifications for when you apply, the fact that it's got a cure.
I mean, if I go to a big box store and I'm looking for something to caulk a window, I'm going to buy a $12 tube of caulk over a $4 tube of caulk all day long, because if I don't, I'll be out there just a couple years later and redoing it.
Oh, I know it. Yeah. I know it. And you may have rotted wood, like Emily had.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, a lot of people are out there right now, and they see a crack on the side of their garage or the side of their house in their brick, and it's what we call a step crack. And they don't know anything about it. They just take a look at it, and it's a crack. Well, unfortunately, over time, that crack gets larger because it starts somewhere, and it usually starts in your foundation. So if you start to see any cracks on your house, whether your house is brick or some windows may not be shutting right, doors may not be shutting right, if you know you have a basement or basement waterproofing issue, we want you to contact Foundation Authority.
Now, remember, the price of admission is that you tell everybody you know to listen to the Inside Outside Guys and to use InsideOutsideGuys.com when they're looking for contractors. That's pretty cheap. Hasn't changed, actually.
Has not changed at all.
Unaffected by inflation.
You're right.
In 16 years. Wow.
In the few minutes we have left, we'll take your phone calls. 800-859-0957. Phone lines are open. And then, as we've been saying, afterwards we're going to head over to Window World and check out their really beautiful new product line they've got over there. It is so very impressive.
I know it. They got great product anyway, and they have had ever since we've known them. But it's interesting. I think of Victor's. I think of a few other companies where Atlas, they just very deliberately and slowly diversified into something that complemented their current business, but they needed another product choice for buyers.
Right.
And that's what we're going to find they did at Window World.
Right, right. Chuck, we had an email recently from a homeowner that has quite a few kids, and they want to put some bedrooms downstairs. Refinish the basement and put some bedroom downstairs. And they were told that each bedroom in their basement that they put has to have a means of egress into the window. So they actually need three new egress windows in that basement. And they sent us an email and asked us if that made sense.
It does.
It does.
It's the law. Yeah, if it is a sleeping area, which we call a bedroom, then it has to have a secondary means of egress. The primary means is considered the door you walked into the room in,
yes,
generally. And the basement's primary means of egress is generally considered the stairway that took you down to the basement. So a secondary means would be either a door that took you outside or a door or a window, an approved, properly sized window that took you outside.
So this person is going to have to put three, to be code,
yeah,
three new egress windows in their house.
It's going to be a pricey install.
It is. Now, it comes back to like a lot of, in a house, if you have like what's called a bonus room that does not have a closet, Remember, you could not include that in a room.
As a room. Include it.
As a room when you're selling the house because it doesn't have a closet.
As a bedroom.
As a bedroom. Thank you. Thank you. So in that basement, as long as he doesn't put the closets in those bedrooms when it gets inspected, they could do one in the main living room in the basement and then do that if they want. But they are taking a chance. Those egress windows are there for a reason.
Yeah, and it is scary. You know, you're a parent. How many sleepovers did you have with all those rent-a-kids down the basement, you know?
I agree, but you want to know the size of the window I had in my basement where I grew up?
Oh, believe me.
I mean, if I had a fire in my house, I would have been toast. I wouldn't be here right now.
Oh, you'd have gotten out. I thought about it
with
even
the
back then.
Burned rear end, I would have gotten out.
Like, I would have gotten out of there somehow, some way. You know, I might have left everybody else behind. But
yeah. Hey, let's go to the phones. Let's talk to Dave from Bowling Green, Ohio. Good morning, Dave. You're on with the guys. Are you there, David? There he is. How can we help you, sir? How can we help you, David?
Okay, can you hear me?
Yes, sir, we got you now.
All right, sorry. So I have a water heater, and I'm not getting a good draft. I can feel the heat coming out from under the hood where it's not drafting, and I'm not sure why. I've verified that the flue, the chimney stack is clear. It's just a single-story home.
Well, there are proportions that have to be maintained for that. Of course, the diameter of the pipe is one. The length of the pipe is another. And another affecting issue could be that your house is starved for air, so it's sucking air in through that pipe rather than letting air exhaust through that pipe, which is real common.
What are the consequences? What have you been seeing of this, David?
Well, when I walk past the water heater, it's in a laundry room. I mean, when the water heater is reheating the water and I know it's running, I can feel the air. I'm kind of tall, so I can feel it as I'm walking past it. And I know that I can put my hand on the pipe and it's not hot like it should be. I can feel the heat coming out around it where it's not drafting upward.
That's scary. We tell people you can buy a stick of incense and test your own water heater.
Or a cigarette.
Yes. I hated to even say that, but you're right. They make smoke sticks, too, that you can buy at a Granger or something like that. But literally, that's what we would use if we were coming in and doing a test on his house to see if it was too tight or too loose or, you know, not ventilating properly. If that smoke does not draw up that vent stack when the water heater is fired up, then you've got some issues probably with the rest of the house.
Yep.
What do you mean by the rest of the house? I mean, is the house too sealed? Sealed
too
up
tight.
Too tight?
It could very well be too tight, and what it's doing is it's sucking air in through the best and most available hole, which is that stack above the water heater.
Years ago in the cottage up north, I had an issue because it was too tight. It kept blowing out my flame.
Oh, your pilot?
Yeah, the pilot. And the plumber literally told me, grab a drill. And you got a little window that you can see that pilot hole. And he said, drill a hole through that window, and you'll never have the issue again. And
so
he was
right. Wouldn't be starved.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Let's pull the air out right there. Yep.
So that would be the recommendation. I mean, because we just moved in last year, and I put in new ducts. It's got a crawl space and sealed a lot of things that were open.
No, that wouldn't be a recommendation because it was blowing out my pilot light. That's not the issue you're having.
Yeah. I would, it might not be a bad idea if you've got somebody locally, the Home Builders Association could direct you to somebody they feel comfortable with. Come in and do a blower door test on the house and literally locate where all those leaks are or where you need to introduce some fresh air to the house. It might be that you just need to introduce a fresh air pipe and damper to that. Is that water heater in a basement?
No, it's a one-story home, so it's its own laundry room with a water heater, water treatment system, furnace.
Okay.
You might put a green makeup spot. Air. Oh, the furnace, too. You might put makeup air right into that room then.
Yep.
From the outdoors.
Okay. What's the means for doing that? You put some sort of a vent?
Yeah, you put what we call a rain hood on the outside of the house.
Similar to a dryer vent.
Yeah, exactly. And a through wall connection, and then some kind of a grill that's attractive on the inside. We like that if you have some kind of a damper device, just a simple barometric damper that reacts to pressure differentials, so it opens when it's, you know, air is demanded, and it automatically falls back into place when no air is demanded. because it will be a source of cold air in that room in the wintertime.
What's on the other side of that room right now, on the outside? What do you have out there? What kind of siding?
It's vinyl siding.
So that'd be easy enough to do.
It really would be. You wouldn't need a...
You say it's controlled. Does that mean you have a power supply to it so that it vents, it opens and closes?
Typically, no.
You can't.
Typically, it's just a pressure control. I mean, literally, it's a hinged piece of metal that hangs down in the opening. And when the house demands air, it'll rise to let air in. When the house is not demanding air, it'll fall back down and somewhat seal that opening. Does it make a difference if you leave the door to the utility room open when the water heater is in operation?
No, we leave it open all the time, and there's actually a vent on the bottom of the door. We moved in. I was curious what that was for, but I've tried it both ways, and it doesn't seem to affect it. And I guess the other thing I was concerned, or at least thinking about, was the height of the chimney above the home, whether it needed to be a certain height in order to introduce that draft.
It does. And the manufacturer of the unit could tell you exactly what the maximum spec is for the height and diameter of that pipe. Because the taller it goes, obviously, it's a convective exhaust. It's counting on heat to carry it out of the house. And if it cools down before it gets out of the chimney, it's going to fall back down.
Okay. It doesn't appear to be high. I mean, it's about 5 feet below the peak of the roof, and it doesn't exceed the peak height. So it's not like it's 5 feet above it.
Yeah, I would. The vent in the door was one of our solutions.
Yeah, maybe just drill a hole to the outside temporarily, just a small one temporarily, and see if that helps. Then you put the vent in if it helps.
So, yeah, I mean, it's definitely starved for air.
It definitely is. And you hear the music, buddy. You can send us an email. We'll help you out there. Sorry we can't get to the other call that was out there. Hey, stick around for the next hour of the Inside Outside, guys, as we feature our good friends from Wind the World. In the meantime, with all this power we've been losing, we have been referring Lake Point Electric to so many of our East Side listeners for new standby generation. Once again, East Point Electric.